Today is Veterans Day, when we honor and thank those who have served our country. But are those veterans getting the support they need after their military service? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss the challenges veterans face are Hamilton County Veterans Service Commission Executive Director Glenn Welling, Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Pavan Parikh, and Disabled American Veterans Chief Communications and Outreach Officer Dan Clare. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All three of you are veterans, so first of all, thank you so much for your service. What do you see as the greatest challenge for veterans in accessing benefits? Do any of you have any personal experience with accessing benefits and some of the challenges there?
In terms of my own personal experience, I transitioned off of active duty back in 1983, came back to Cincinnati to go to college. And back then, I think it was even more difficult than it is now. There was really a lot of lack of knowledge and awareness. And I can tell you at the Veterans Service Commission, that's one of the primary things that we're trying to overcome, is to create that level of awareness. People don't know the kind of resources that they can have access to if they don't know that we're here to help them.
How about you, Dan? Did you have any trouble?
Well, I transitioned out from the Guard. So you when you're in the Guard, you don't have the same support structures. While I deployed to Iraq, I was in the Guard. And then coming home, I'm fortunate that I work for DAV. And so I have a lot of people around me to help. And there's a lot of great resources out there. But, a lot of people think that veterans just get their benefits when they leave active duty, and it's just not the case. So it's a hard fight, and that's one of the core missions of DAV, is helping those veterans. We have veterans who've gone through it, and they're helping them out. And we're proud to work with Hamilton County folks, to get the word out and help more veterans that way.
Well, and it's not just about once you get out too, right? I mean, some of these issues show up even when you're in service and trying to figure out how you can access whatever benefits exist out there at that point in time. And Dan, you just mentioned being in the National Guard. When you're in the Guard or Reserves, those support networks aren't necessarily there. And when you're on active duty, you're on a military base, and there's everything built around that base, is around supporting that service member and their families. Well, when you're in the Guard and Reserve, you're scattered throughout the community, scattered throughout the country. You don't have access to the same level of resources. And one of the things that we've seen recently, for example, is with a lot of these mobilizations and deployments of Reserve units, National Guard units, whether it was during COVID, whether it's right now across the country, you're pulling people out of their communities. And to the extent they had any support, you're pulling them out of their communities, and they are entitled to legal protections, to benefits. But then the questions are, well, what type of orders are they on? How many days are they on these orders? If they're about to get out of the service, what's the characterization of their discharge? Why were they discharged in the way they were? And there's so many questions that underlie even the basic question of, am I eligible for benefits? That it's a patchwork of a system that we really need to do a better job of getting everybody on the same page, both service members coming off and also just the community at large. And that's why I think the work that is done by DAV and the Veterans Services Commission is so important.
Well, Pavan makes an excellent point about National Guard and Reserve members, because I said I got off of active duty in 83, and I affiliated with the Reserves and was at the 28-year mark when I got mobilized to go to Iraq myself. And coming back from that, I had the opportunity, was offered a senior civilian job in the Pentagon as the executive director of the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program, which was created by Congress in 2008 specifically to address that issue. As you said, Pavan, when you're on an active duty installation, you have that built-in support network. But in my case, my kids were the only ones in their school with a parent who was deployed. My wife had nobody else that she could relate to among our group of friends. And that story got told thousands and thousands of times across the country. So the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program was there to help prepare families for deployment, support the family members who are back home during that time, and then most importantly, help the member and the family reintegrate back into society upon their return.
So there have been these efforts. What is the greatest challenge facing the VA and your agencies respectively now when it comes to serving veterans? I'll start with you, Dan.
Well, I mean, we get a new administration and you get new goals, objectives, different things that they want to do, a different view, some different thought leadership. And of course, everyone knows about DOGE and what's happened there. And VA's seen some pretty significant cuts. It started out at 30,000 people that we were looking at losing. And, I think we're at 17,000 now who fewer staff members at VA. We don't have really good data on how many people are retiring, how this is all going, and we're just not getting that kind of data. But we're encouraged with the claims process right now, with the big data we're seeing with the claims process. And we know the needs are great because of the PACT Act, because of the toxic exposure. We know that once we got those presumptives out there, that there was going to be a lot of people who needed help, and there still are. So we talk about transitioning people a lot, but some of these things don't show up for years after your service. A cancer or something like that just incubates. So there's a lot of great needs, and I do think you're right. You guys are both right in that people don't always just... They're blinded by how many resources are out there. And then when it's the resource they want, the resource they need, they don't always know what it is.
There's this pride and there's this feeling of, I know someone who's had it worse than me. Mm-hmm. So why would I take something away, resources away that could be going to them? And I think that's a risk, especially when you look at on Veterans Day, because there are people that are reluctant to even say that they're veterans. There are people that think, well, I didn't do anything special. I was a reservist. I never deployed. I was in the National Guard. I never really did anything. Well, but the reality is you raised your hand. You decided that you were going to do this with your life. And let's be clear, the training is dangerous. There is danger that you've subjected yourself to. There is a lot of physical abuse just through running however many miles you got to run every day and doing the push-ups and sit-ups and going through the obstacle courses and going to the training centers. It's a punishing life that you've chosen, even if you're a reservist or National Guard member. And so, yes, you did this. You are entitled to this. You are entitled to be proud of your service. But if something got broken, if you need some help, you're also entitled to that help.
So, Clerk Parikh, does your office help direct people to those resources? Do you have veterans coming to the Clerk of Court's office and saying, hey, I need help?
For us, we are the place where everybody comes if you need to do anything at the courthouse. We are that first line of defense. We are the people that you talk to. And so, for us, it's been very important to build the relationships with the Veterans Services Commission, with DAV, because as we see people come to us, as they come to our help center, for example, and ask for help on an eviction issue, okay, well, were you in the service? Because if you're in the service now, you may actually have additional laws written to your benefit. You may be eligible under the Service Member Civil Relief Act to protections here. And so it's making sure that we can connect people with those resources, because they don't know what they're entitled to a lot of times, but they know that they have an issue, and that's why they're at the courthouse. Well, great. You're here. Let's talk to you. Let's see who we can connect you with.
You mentioned when we were first talking that it can be complicated for veterans to even know if they qualify for benefits or to figure out how they qualify. Can you talk a little bit more about that, how complicated that can be?
Everything kind of matters, right? So under what authority were you in the military? Were you on active duty? How many days were you on active duty? Depending on the answers to these questions, were you in the reserves? Were you involuntarily mobilized? Did you voluntarily mobilize? Again, how many days was that? Was it over 30 days? Was it over 180 days? Were you in a combat zone? All these little questions, the potential benefits that you have accrue differently depending on what those answers are. And with the National Guard, for example, it gets even more complicated. Were you under federal orders or were you under state orders? Because that impacts, does the time accrue for your GI Bill? Does the time accrue for other benefits that you're eligible for? So there's so many questions. And on the very end of your career, what was the characterization of your discharge? There are some benefits that you are entitled to if you received a discharge under honorable conditions. Now, that also means it was an honorable discharge or general discharge under honorable conditions. And then you have other than honorable discharges, and you have dishonorable discharges. And some you can only get through a criminal prosecution, and some you can only get through an administrative separation hearing. So even that threshold question of, am I eligible for benefits? It's unpacking this huge Pandora's box of questions that you have to be able to know how to navigate that. And on the side of the resource provider, you have to be able to know how to navigate that to try to start the question and directing people in the right areas.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the challenges veterans have in accessing benefits and the resources available to help them. Before the government shut down, the Veterans Administration touted several improvements that the VA had made, including a record number of claims being processed, a new electronic health record system at VA facilities in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Glenn and Dave, are local veterans feeling that? Were they feeling those improvements before the shutdown?
Yeah, there, I mean, there's an improvement in numbers, but for the individual veteran, they're focused on their own situation and where they're at, and sometimes those are some pretty desperate situations that they're in. You know, when we look at that and we look at big numbers, one of the things we're looking at is how accurate are the, you know, we're speeding up how quickly we're adjudicating claims. How accurate is that process? You know, how accurate are these claims being decided? And it's just something we need to keep our finger on the pulse, you know, because there's a lot of people who need a lot of help.
How has the accuracy been?
It's difficult to say. You can talk to a service officer in one office and, you know, they're having an experience where they feel like it's really great. And I think service officers, the good thing about it is when they submit a claim, the chances are that they counseled the veteran. The veteran knows what's going on, and that makes it easier for them. It's very hard to measure accuracy in a system like that. You kind of can look at how many claims were denied, how many claims were granted, and go from there. But I mean, there's going to be a data lag, and it's going to take some time to figure that out.
Clerk Perk, you were talking before about kind of asking that questions when people come to the clerk of court's office for help, whether it's with eviction or something else, asking, did you serve in the military? Are you active duty? There might be resources. How common is it for a veteran to be facing eviction or dealing with unpaid traffic tickets or some of these things? And I ask because I think there's a growing awareness of issues of homelessness with veterans.
Correct.
And that the tragedy that is in our country, and so many veterans are dealing with PTSD and all these other factors. Do you see that commonly in your office?
I don't know that I'd say that we see it commonly, but we see it regularly. And I think it is one of the things where Hamilton County has been on the forefront of some of this work. So we have two robust veterans courts, one in the Common Pleas Court, one in the Municipal Court. So if someone is coming into the Justice Center, that is a question that we know is asked, did you serve in the military? Because that we have this Veteran Treatment Court as an option for you. And it's a great program. And the reality is, it's a tough program. The easier thing for many veterans would just be to say that they don't want to participate in it and just take their punishment and move on with their lives. Because it's very intensive, it's very probing, but the goal of it is to ensure that someone gets through the end of this process and they're never going to come back to the courthouse again. They're going to have their issues either fixed or worked on to an extent that they know how to work on them together with the support structure that we have. And that involves people from the VA, that involves people from the courthouse, the sheriff's office, the prosecutor's office, the public defender's office. It is a unity of effort of the entire justice system when we see somebody come in, especially on the criminal side.
We'll continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the show, what two men learned about their fathers when researching their military service. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our recorded conversation about the challenges veterans face in accessing benefits and the resources available to help them. My guests are Hamilton County Veterans Service Commission Executive Director Glenn Welling, Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Pavan Parikh, and Disabled American Veterans Chief Communications and Outreach Officer Dan Clare. Dan, can you talk a little bit more about what organizations like DAV do to help veterans navigate benefits, navigate eligibility, and how the government shutdown has affected the work that DAV is able to do?
Well, I mean, nationwide, DAV is helping veterans with benefits every day, and we still are. We're doing it remotely now because a lot of the offices are shut down. The need for services, it's constant. It's a constant thing going on, and the VA is going to continue to change, and there's conversations to be had about what's going to be next for VA, but we've seen a huge swell in the number of veterans who are applying for benefits. And if anyone has any questions about why that is, it's because of the PACT Act. It's because we exposed all these veterans to toxins and we need to take care of them. The needs are great. DAV, you know, in the last 10 years, we've added a caregivers initiative. because we're seeing burnout with caregivers. So it's not just the veteran who sacrifices, it's the whole family that experiences that. And that can include children, that can include spouses, it can include parents of a veteran or veterans who become caregivers themselves. Employment is a major concern for us. We work with Recruit Military on about 98 career fairs nationwide, and we just hosted one at headquarters not too long ago. Again, every touch point we get, there's only so many veterans in our country. And there are fewer veterans, and there's going to continue to be fewer veterans for the foreseeable future, just based on, you know, our demographics, Vietnam, the shift to post 9/11 veterans. But I think that what we're going to find over the long term is that the needs are greater for veterans when you've gone through 20 years at war. I mean, there shouldn't be any question anyone's asking right now about why are the needs great? Why has the budget for VA doubled, and why is it so massive, and why are those needs growing? It's because the needs are there.
Can you talk, Dan, about, I don't even know if there is a typical disabled veteran or a typical veteran with disabilities, because I think when a lot of people think of a veteran with disabilities, they think of losing a limb on the battlefield or something like that, but there are a lot of disabilities that this PACT Act covers that are invisible. You can't necessarily see them. So can you walk us through what some of those?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it harder to advocate for someone. I mean, it's exposures to toxins, obviously. In Iraq, that was burn pits. There was Agent Orange and burn pits in Vietnam as well. There were toxins on bases. There were poison in our water. There's not an average veteran. People sometimes think of Navy SEALs, and they're incredibly the most lethal people on the planet, right? But I was never one of those, by the way, so I'm not, no stolen valor here. But when I think of the average veteran, I think of someone who went into the service pretty young with a healthy body, obviously checked out. We use the rental car theory that, you know, the government walks around you like you're a rental car, and they find any dings and dents, and when they let you out, that's the promise. We got to bring you back to whole coming out of your time in the military, even if your health changes later on. We have to at least make up for the part that you were changed while you were in uniform. So there are the bullet holes, the amputations, traumatic brain injuries, and then there are milder things that don't necessarily raise a lot of alarms. Like one of the things that's been a hot topic lately is tinnitus, or tinnitus, if you prefer. This ringing in the ears, and people look at that and they say, well, that's not a thing, you know, like, how does that affect your life?
A lot of people have that kind of thing, yeah.
How does, you know, how many people had an uncle or an aunt who served in the military and they were around flight lines and they don't hear well? And how does that reverberate into the rest of your life? How does that affect your ability to be an employee and to hear your boss talking? Veterans are kind of all over the map, and it's important to recognize too, you know, women veterans have made unique sacrifices, and they get out to a system that's predominantly male and focused on the health needs of men. So we're working on that as well. But when it comes back to those toxic exposures, we just did a study with Military Officers Association of America, and we found that when it comes to these presumptive conditions that the PACT Act is, and you asked about that, so we're talking lung issues, sinusitis, cancers. I mean, there's a laundry list, and I would encourage, before I start listing them off and make people think that they don't qualify, I'd encourage them to look it up. It's pretty easy to find and then get the help for that. On average, it takes 34 years to get a presumptive, and that means that you're not service-connected necessarily for something. You have to go in and prove that and fight that out, and that's way too long. And for our generation, you know, I came home from Iraq. I was exposed to burn pits. For our generation, it's taken, 20 years for the PACT Act, around 20 years or so. We're going to need to do a better job for the next round of people, because there are people right now, sadly, who are going to die before they get the benefits they earn. And then that's going to go to their spouse or their survivors. And how are we going to take care of them?
Well, we are recording this conversation the afternoon of Friday, November 7th. As of now, the federal government shutdown continues. For any of you, what impact is that having on veterans?
It's having a massive impact, because the other thing is a lot of veterans work for the federal government. The Postal Service, their staff is heavily veteran-related. There's a lot of veterans who continue to work for the federal government. So these people are not getting paid right now. They maybe don't have the protections that if they were still in the service, they may have the protections under the Service Member Civil Relief Act on issues around evictions or foreclosures or debt payments. They don't have this anymore. And so they're struggling. And it's also worth noting that this is really impacting the people that are still on active duty, because there's a percentage of people that are on active duty that still need SNAP. There's a large percentage of people on active duty that are reliant upon contractors to get through their daily lives. Now, if these contractors aren't getting paid, they're not showing up, which means childcare centers are shutting down, which means that maybe the dining facility is being shut down. So the reverberations from this are huge and arguably are hitting the military and the veteran population harder than the general population, because everything is so integrated with the federal government if you're a veteran or currently in service.
One thing I would just add to that, and I don't want to brag too much, but one of the fortunate things that DAV was involved in several years ago was advance appropriations. And policy gets a little boring sometimes, but we're really proud of this because the VA is funded in advance. It means that veterans are still getting their benefits, that the VA is funded for health care. And the goal of that was to not make veterans the political football that we've been through shutdowns, you know, going back decades. Veterans are still getting their benefits. There's a lot of anxiety. They're getting their benefits if they were already awarded their benefits. Their claims are still being processed, but they don't have the access right now because of the facilities that are closed. And then we're worried about just coming out of this. Where's the VA going to be, and how's the VA going to be positioned to take care of veterans moving forward?
Yeah, Pavan's comments about our active duty members is just spot on. My daughter is currently serving in the Army as a combat engineer, and while our military members are so dedicated and focused on their mission, that's easy to say, but they also have to come home and take care of their families. And when you're distracted by anything that's going to inhibit your ability to do that, that takes you away from your ability to focus 100% on your mission. And while we've been fortunate so far that our military members have still been paid, there's always that uncertainty. Is my next check on the 15th or the 30th, is it going to come this time? And so that emotional stress associated with the uncertainty has a big impact on our military members.
Are there other concerns you have, Glenn, if the shutdown continues?
I can tell you that we were anticipating, frankly, a pretty big influx in the need for financial assistance due to the elimination of the SNAP benefits. I'll say we're fortunate so far. We've not yet seen that. But the longer that goes, certainly the greater the likelihood that we're going to be seeing a lot more people, our veterans, come in and need for that temporary financial assistance. And then that creates concerns about our fiscal ability to continue to provide that, outside of what we have originally budgeted for. Yeah.
Well, I have been talking with Hamilton County Veterans Service Commission Executive Director Glenn Welling, Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Pavan Parikh, and Disabled American Veterans Chief Communications and Outreach Officer Dan Clare. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Veterans Day.
Yes.
Happy Veterans Day.
Up next, what two men learned about their fathers while researching their service in World War II. This is Cincinnati Edition.